Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, babe, what you got there?
This is a check from Carvana. I just sold my car to them. I went online and Carvana gave me an offer right away. Then they just picked up the car and gave me this.
Oh, that's a big check. Well, obviously, you could put this towards your next car, or we could finally get that jacuzzi, or I could start taking tuba lessons, or I could quit my job and write my memoir.
Or I can put it towards my next car with Carvana.
Sorry, your check, not mine.
Sell your car to Carvana. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get a real offer in seconds.
Doesn't sound like the usual mindless, boring, getting to know you chit-chat. This sounds like you actually have something to say.
Well, maybe.
Why are we having these conversations? What the hell am I doing here?
Now it's the good stuff.
What is your favourite sandwich?
Well, until recently, you buy your store-bought BLT.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, it was fine. But then I actually had a BLT made for me. I was in a cafe in Devon, and I forgot just how nice a BLT when actually freshly made.
Hot bacon. Yeah.
Freshly cut tomato, lettuce, banging BLT.
Your favourite?
Yeah, I think so. What would you go for?
Well, it's just surprising because about 2 seconds ago you were saying how you prefer sausage to bacon.
Yeah, odd, isn't it? In the mornings. I think you used the phrase in the mornings. So I was like, I'll have a sausage
sandwich
in the morning.
Cross-examined you. Well, I put it to you
I'd absolutely crumble.
That wouldn't be cool.
Oh, she's in the woods, officer. I'm sorry. In the mornings, if you go sausage sandwich or bacon, I'm always having sausage. But if you were to say to me, lunchtime, what's your favourite sandwich? I'm going for a freshly made BLT.
Right, because sausage sandwich is just, I think it's the king of sandwiches.
In the mornings, absolutely.
Anytime.
Really?
Anytime, yeah. I'm a bit of a maverick.
Yeah, I like,
do you know the best time for me to have cereal? At night.
You're one of those guys, aren't you?
Cereal in the evening.
Cereal in the evening. That just smacks to me that things have gone wrong. You know what I mean?
I've already had dinner.
Yeah.
It's like an extra. Yeah. I'm not having cereal for dinner.
Yeah, do you say that to yourself as you're spooning it in? This is a treat. Treat just for Jack. No,
just whisper to myself, things are going well.
Things are going well. No, I can have cereal in the morning, but that's it. I'm not one of them people who have cereal in the evening. It's just not for me.
I can, see. And yeah. I like...
What's your cereal?
Frosties.
Yeah, fair enough.
Frosties at night.
Yeah.
Banging. But this is the thing I've realised as well, because you've got kids like me.
Yeah.
So like my son is like blown away by the concept of fry up for dinner.
Oh really?
He looks at me like I'm Willy Wonka. He's like, what a mad concept, and he loves it. If he wants like a treat for dinner, fry up for dinner, and
fry up for dinner.
Yeah,
Brinner.
Have you ever had a fry up for dinner?
Oh yeah, God yeah. Yeah. My Uncle Luke used to always make us fry ups for dinner. It was delicious. And he'd put chips with it as well.
Yeah.
Are you a fry up with chips or without chips?
Well, chips in the evening.
Chips in the evening. So it's officially Brinner. Lovely stuff.
Yeah, but technically this podcast is called Get to the Good Stuff.
Get to the Good Stuff, but...
just want to get your opinion on sausages first.
Do you go plain sausage or do you have Cumberland or Lincolnshire?
Cumberland. I think that's a good sausage.
Yeah.
I always judge a calf on its sausages. Like, you know, you get them sort of like cheap, sort of like a light tan sausage. I'm not into that.
See, this is where you can say sausages are better than bacon, because a calf is often happy to give you three rashers of bacon but one sausage.
Where are you getting three rashers?
Anyway,
I really keep pulling you up.
No, it's good. It's good. No, you've got to keep me on my toes and cut out the bullshit. So actually, Tom, I'm going to call you on that. With the sausage, they very often give you smaller portions of sausage than bacon, which makes me think that sausages are obviously greater in currency. Yeah. They're happy to just, we'll give you one.
Yeah, well, I always go double sausage.
Double sausage.
Always.
No, I need a hash. I'll have a hash brown. Add a hash brown, maybe. If there's no hash brown on the set menu, I'll add a hash brown.
It really is, though. Like, sometimes I'll put like my theories on cooked breakfasts on my socials. And it's like proper, like, it's triggering for some people.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's a real, like, you know.
Do you have beans?
This is the thing. I do it because I feel obliged to.
Obliged?
Like, as in, like...
To who? Mr. Hines?
No, just the art of fry-up brewery.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have moisture on the plate, haven't you?
Sure.
So you got, like, tinned tomatoes or beans, even though I don't particularly want them.
Yeah, I could do without the tinned tomatoes, but...
Oh, actually, this is a thing people do. You know when you go... When you ask for beans and then they give it to you, you say, "Oh, sorry, did I say can you drown it in beans?"
Yeah,
I said some beans.
The thing is, I'd rather that than they give you a little pipette of the little tiny.
They give you like a bowl and you got to pour it on yourself.
Yeah, because it's not enough. If they just put it straight on the plate, I imagine you get a bigger portion. So I'm absolutely happy for them to drown it in beans, because that's what I would probably have done myself anyway.
Yeah. I just feel like with the beans sometimes, especially in an oval plate, they'll do the thing where they'll just be like any sort of surface area that's not covered.
Cover
that in beans.
Yeah. I like that. And yeah, you're onto a good plate. If you're in a cafe that does oval plates rather than circular plates, it's happy days, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so much. You feel like you've got so much more.
Yeah.
Black pudding?
Yep.
Yep, same.
Yep.
Black pudding, mushrooms.
Yep. I like everything. There's nothing I don't like. It's just like there's nothing I'd say leave that off.
Yeah, I'm not one of them people who go, can I substitute this?
I did a sketch about that before. It's annoying when I go, can I have a set three? But can I have like beans instead of mushrooms, hash browns instead of chips? Well, that's not a set three, is it?
No, it's not.
It's like going and saying, can I have the egg on toast? But instead of toast, can I have spaghetti? Instead of egg, can I have just bolognese? Egg on toast.
No, egg on toast.
That's where I'm going to... I know, we got really sidetracked there.
Yeah. No,
you're right. The intro into the podcast.
You should let the listeners know this is quite early morning. We have just thought about breakfast.
It is early morning. And this is what I was going to talk to you about. I've just done the school run, and we're currently recording on World Book Day. Do you know it's World Book Day?
Yes. Now, for me, World Book Day is tomorrow because my kid's school is on strike.
Right, okay.
So they've put it off for a day.
Oh, that's good of them.
Yeah.
But anyway, it just made me think, because I was in a bit of a bad mood this morning, because I think because I could feel it coming off my son.
I was going to say, your son didn't go in off the main character point camp or something. Just put me in a bad mood. It's what he wanted.
What he did.
No, daughter was Anne Frank. A bit confliction in the car.
He wanted the guy's Marcus Rashford.
Marcus Rashford.
You can't go as
no.
Yeah, so you can't go as Marcus Rashford.
No, anyway. God no. Not without.
Anyway, but he went as because it was Roald Dahl themed, apparently.
Right. Okay.
Right. So my daughter went as Matilda.
Nice.
And if it were cute, my son went as Harry Wormwood.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So
that's quite funny. Do you know
what
I mean?
Like, yeah. With the hat on.
With the hat on, he had a little moustache and like.
Oh, lovely.
Anyway, the thing was, like, I got him to the school, and I could immediately because I think a lot of people had the day off today because of the strike.
Yeah.
Only a few people turned up. Anyway, my point is, I fucking hate fancy dress.
Yeah.
I don't like fancy dress, and I could feel my son, because all his mates just turned up as footballers, so they just turned up with their football kit on.
Perfect. Yeah.
They've found a loophole there, haven't they?
Yeah.
Book with a footballer in it.
Got a book.
Yeah, you can go as a footballer. I mean, I think I did that at school. I mean, I went as Paul Gascoigne.
Nice.
Not as a footballer. Just
when he's in the dentist chair with his shirt teared open.
I was going in an open dressing gown, yeah. A bottle of whiskey.
A fishing rod when he's Rao Mowat era. fishing rod back at KFC.
I could just feel my son. I could feel his vibe going, I don't want to fucking do this. I've got a fucking moustache on now. It put me in I felt for him. Do you know what I mean?
I didn't know
what to. Because I just fucking hate fancy dress. Because you know when you do fancy dress, and like it's like someone. Oh yeah, you got to dress up, and you're forced to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when you got any sort of face paint or anything, you like 30 minutes. I think it takes for you to get bored of it.
I've never got on with fancy dress. Always hated it. The last fancy dress I went to, I think I went as a football player that had died, but American football player. It was like a Halloween. So I found a Letterman jacket, put it on, put a bloodshot wound from my skull, and that was it. And I was like, that's enough for me.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife loves making fancy dress for my daughter. So for World Book Day tomorrow, she's bought a load of stuff from Amazon. Here's the thing that I found. In the old days, when we were at school, if you had a store-bought costume, that was like, oh, he's bought his own.
Oh,
whereas if you were homemade, it was a bit like, oh, bloody hell, homemade. But nowadays, if you have a store-bought, you're like, oh, God, he's bought it from the store, rather than homemade is actually...
Yeah,
it costs more to be a homemade. It's weird.
No,
it's
like, you know what it is, though, isn't it? It's cocky parenting.
Yeah.
The parents are going, look what I've done for him. Oh, yours is just a footballer, is he?
You
just drawn a moustache on him and called him Harry Wormwood. Look what I've made.
I suppose you don't have the time or love for your child that I have. Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, look at this. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
It is. And she'll be the first to admit it. But to be fair, like... The costume she's made.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot
what
we were talking about.
No. To be fair, no. She knows it. She knows it. What was great is once I remember she made some. It was like a volcano or something. And as we're handing it in, my wife just went, they'll probably want to put that up on the display in case UCAS comes round. She was just like, she just knew, she loves like being creative and stuff. But yeah, when it's like on my daughter, it's like, you know, for all to see. But yeah, she's in the past has outdone herself. But the thing is, I don't do anything. I will go to Hobbycraft, I'll get the ingredients and then I'll hand it and that's it. That's my job done. She does all the...
Yeah,
you know, and fair play, but I don't have the patience for it. I don't have the artistic integrity or the patience to do that. I would just go on Amazon and buy a costume for £15.
Even with myself, there's like, oh yeah, you're invited to our party. Go, oh, yeah, I got a party. You got to come with something begin with M. You go, oh, fuck. Why have you put this extra?
Well, you come as Jack, motherfucker.
But I just don't like. And you know, like, the thing is though, like a fancy dress party. You know, it's like, I say, you get just, oh, who are you? Oh, you turn up. Oh, it's funny.
Yeah.
Then it'll just turn into a normal party.
Yep.
Where
yep.
normal stuff, people will have a row.
Yeah.
People being sick. People have, like, it's not like,
yeah.
You're just dressed as a, people like two blokes having a really serious conversation about Brexit.
Yeah, yeah. You know? One of them dressed as a cat in the hat. Yeah. It's like, you know. But that's the thing. It's that initial, oh, look at you. And then that's it.
Yeah.
I'll
just get that immediately. And I'm like, just get me out of.
Yeah, I remember my friend Tom had a party for his 21st and it was Bond. So everyone just had suits on, so it's perfect, you know, tuxes and that.
Was you Ursula?
Well, one of my mates came in a wetsuit, which we were all, fair play. Fair play to be the whole evening in this hall wearing a wetsuit where the rest of us were suited up. So, you know, in that respect, I actually have more respect for someone who turns up who makes an effort when no one makes an effort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like, yeah, fair play. Yeah. Hats off to them.
But I went as me and the lads went as the Teletubbies.
Nice. Which one were you?
Tinky Winky.
Nice. Yeah.
I got status. Tinky Winky vibes.
Was Tinky Winky the leader?
I think I'd say he was the leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a power play. That.
Absolutely.
But that's the thing is, and then like it was a play. It was in Kingston, and then it went back to someone's house afterwards.
Nice.
And then you just wake up, you're still Tinky Winky.
Yeah.
The fun's over, and you got to get home.
Oh, you had to do the Walk of Shame as Stinky Winky.
Yeah, Stinky Winky. it's like La La the Rowley's missus.
Yeah, La La's gone. Poe got lucky. We haven't seen Poe. Dipsy, no one's heard.
Actually, saying that, I was at a stag do once in Newquay, and I saw Kermit the Frog getting arrested.
Lovely. Yeah.
That was a good moment.
I wonder what you prefer, bacon or sausage?
But what's your worst fancy dress you've?
Have you ever
actually gone for it?
I once went like as a pimp, and it was like free entry to a nightclub if you turn up in fancy dress. And the guy didn't think I made enough effort, so he was like, "No, you have to pay." I was like, "Well, I'm in a purple suit."
Just thought you was a pimp.
Yeah, you clearly are a pimp. And like he was an Eastern European guy, and I sort of went to the back of the queue and then tried to get in the queue again, and he just went, "Listen, you do that again, I'll fucking fuck you." I was like, "Okay, I'm not going to come in, I don't think." I just went home. I'm all right then.
Yeah, leave that then.
Yeah, but it's that thing of like, yeah, that it's there's so little, so much effort for so little reward.
Yeah,
because literally it's just people go, "Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's I like your costume," and that's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's especially it. At a party situation. If you're at a nightclub, maybe you get different people's opinions throughout the evening.
Yeah.
But
I remember once I went to a party once, and the girl's theme was everyone has to wear black and white.
Yeah.
And it was her party, so she was in red.
Like the little girl from Schindler's
List? That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said. I said, "Wait, a Schindler's List party." Well done, because you've got that's exactly what I said.
Sorry, I completely cut off your punchline there.
It was like
that's weird.
Yeah, she didn't clock it. She didn't clock the.
Was she like really self-involved?
Yeah, my wife must have been. Yeah, yeah.
God, like... imagine that. Everyone's in black and white apart from me. I'm the only one in colour.
In this party.
Yeah. God.
Well, good hell. But that's so. Yeah, I was talking to you last week, wasn't I? Because I had an experience last Sunday where I went to a rave.
Yeah.
I'm 34 years old. I just don't know what.
What was your initial thought going in there?
Well, when I was booking the tickets, actually, when I got to
when you got to the thing,
well,
when did the regrets step in?
The pre-drinks were at the Wetherspoons over the road from the club.
I mean, that's never a good.
Yeah, I went to. I was like,
where was this?
Printworks in Surrey Quays.
Right. Okay.
So, and I think I was saying to you that I saw a group of lads get dropped off by their mum, and I was like, she's a bit of me. Let's go back to yours. Stick on a bit of buble and sit in the conservatory, shall we?
Just go over. You're not coming in? No. Can you take me with you? Like, I don't actually want to be here. You can't chat in there. You can't chat. It's too loud.
Let's find a little corner.
Yeah, find a little corner. Sit down, have a chat. Oh, God.
That's what I was saying before. Like, this is genuine. Like, when I used to go to... I used to love raving. I used to go well into it. But it's made me realize I'm not in there anymore. But... my pre-rave used to be like Koppenberg's.
Yeah, yeah.
Ketamine, mainly, right?
Before, don't say another K. I used to do KKK before I went to a rave.
but this one, my prep was I went to Boots.
Nice.
I bought earplugs and a knee support. I genuinely needed it. I was like, at that point, I should have realised.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Oh, I mean. God. See, I was never one for... raving. I think I always felt old in a nightclub, no matter what my age.
Yeah.
Do you know? I always felt like, oh God, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
But, and that was at like in my 20s. So God knows what it'd be like now. I'm 36.
You're an old soul.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I just think that people just feel like I'd either run the club, I work there, I'm a bouncer who just is too short to really be a bouncer, to be good at his job. You know, so do you get people obviously sort of recognising you?
Yeah, that was the other awkward thing. Because obviously, like, my main demographic, because I'm on TikTok.
You are.
Do you know what? I felt stupid. I felt like I'd gone somewhere, like, intending on getting recognised. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that wasn't the case. It's like I've gone to... I've just gone there and stood in the middle and gone, here I am.
It's TikTok's Jack Skipper, everybody.
Like Mickey Mouse at Disneyland.
So you just had a bunch of kids gathering around you on the photo.
No, to be fair, I always like that sort of stuff. It's nice. I think it's lovely. But
Was there a lot of selfies then?
Yeah, do you know what it was? When I got there and I realised the demographic and I was like, oh shit, I'm the oldest person here. So I was like, I felt self-conscious at that point. But then the point where like, oh, he's a TikTok like guy.
Yeah.
And then it was like, what if I, and I was like, oh God, what? Do you know what I mean? Because you're feeling sort of self-conscious anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's nice, I suppose.
It was my issue. It was my, you know what I mean?
It's your issue that a bunch of 18-year-olds wanted their photo over you. That's fine.
I was dealing...
Your Honour.
I was, at that moment, dealing with the fact that I found a grey hair last week. Then I went there. It all just came on top.
Oh. So that's the thing. I don't find grey hairs. I've got plenty in my beard, but none on my head. And I feel that as long as that's the case,
yeah.
You just glanced at my head.
I just don't know. Yeah, I did. I just sort of check it out. I just had a quick look.
But that's the thing. Like, I went to a gig a few years ago now. My wife's really into 1975. And we went in and I...
The band.
Yeah, the band, yeah. Not the year.
Love that
top,
year.
Absolutely.
Get over it.
Amazing.
It's gone.
It's gone, yeah. It's never coming back. We started walking in and on the way in, I'm looking around. I'm like, God, there's a lot of... Their demographic is a lot of teenage girls. I was like, if I end up in a mosh pit here, I could end up on a register, right? I really can. Like, and we get there and then, like, because I don't know if you've seen the recent videos of this guy, Matt Healy. There's videos of him checking people's ID and then, like, pretty much snogging audience members.
But checking your ID first?
Checks ID first. Good policy, right. To be fair.
Yeah.
Like, you can't get in trouble then.
Okay.
You've done your due diligence.
Oh, so just to check that over.
Check they're over 18 before giving
them a snog. I just also like, is it his type?
Yeah. Let's see how you photograph.
Where are you from?
Oh, no. I'll hand that back. Yeah. Checking nationalities because he's... But, like, that's the thing. Like, when we got there, I thought it was a warm-up act because he came out and just went, hey guys, I want to introduce you to my favourite new band, the 1975. But then it turned out he was the lead singer. I was like, oh wow. Like,
that's how he introduced his own band?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm going to start doing that at comedy gigs. Hey guys, I want to introduce you to my favourite comedian, Tom Dahl. Like, you know, just like... But yeah, it was an odd one.
He wasn't doing it with like a sense of humour, like ironic sense of humour.
I think he has because I've seen videos since. But right. When I'd know... frame of reference when I went to see them. So I was just like taking him at face value. I was just like, oh, this guy's, you know, because at one point he kept going on about how this was their biggest gig. It was at the O2 in Greenwich. And there was two big screens either side and the camera really focused in on his face and he started crying, just whispered thank you. And then my wife just went, yeah, he does that every gig. And I was like, imagine that, like just being like, yeah, thank you. Like, oh, I'm crying. I'm just like, that's what a minute to be bastard. And at one point he did do that thing where he was just like, yeah, put the camera phones down. Just put the camera phones just for 1 minute. Let's just. So, I mean, the thing is like you go, oh, he's creepy. But technically by checking their date of birth, he's not. Because if he was one, he wouldn't bother checking their date of birth, would he?
Wait, so what's that? He checks the date of birth, then he kisses him.
Yeah.
But he's still kissing him.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
I'm not a creepy guy, but I will assume that you want to kiss me, and I'll just...
I think there might be a cue.
Oh, that's better.
I think you got to get in a queue for the kiss and that.
Cashier number one, please.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I banged the table. yeah, is that... It's. I don't know, is that nice? I mean, if you were to ever... I suppose you're 34 now, so to kiss an 18-year-old seems like a lifetime away, wouldn't it?
Yeah. How old is he? How old is this guy?
I think he's approaching his 40s.
Is he?
He's definitely in his 30s. I don't know. Should we Google it?
Yeah.
Let's Google Matt Healy.
So what's he kissing? He's kissing 18-year-olds and he's nearly 40.
Well, I'm guessing if you need to check someone's... Unless he's doing over 20... they look under 25s.
That's what I should have done at the rave.
You should have checked... You should have checked Matt... Right, Matt Healy.
How old is he?
Oh no, this is a guy who's 52. David James Matt Healy. That's not who I want. Is it Matt Healy? I thought it was Matt Healy.
Is it? I don't know. Shove our age now. Are we talking about the...
Matthew Healy. Okay, right. So there's a Matt Healy. There's a Matthew Healy. Stay silent. Oh, hang on. The 1975 Matt Healy controversy. Okay. Right. Or maybe he hasn't. Maybe he forgot one day.
He's getting hotter on MIDs, man. Yeah.
Oh, he's 33. Okay.
33. So, well,
33. Yeah. Still weird, but.
Yeah. Well, well, someone told me there's a rule of this. Apparently, it's a guy can date a girl who's half their age plus 7.
Okay.
That's the rule, apparently.
Right.
So there's new.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
parameters when it comes to nonsense.
So if he's
we just have one age. Or we just anything below that, yeah.
So if he's 33, so half his age.
So paedophiles have to take calculators.
Yeah.
Just let me just do it quick.
It's just much easier. Just go. 16 is the legal age of consent. Anything below that, don't do it.
Sorry,
just don't do it.
Well, you've slept with you. That makes you a nonce. Oh, just my working's out. I just I've tried to work.
During lockdown, I worked at as a delivery driver for Asda. And one day I came in, there was a load of police there, and it was the nonce hunters that caught up with someone that worked there.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And it was his birthday as well.
Oh,
I know. Oh, let him off. It's his birthday.
As it's your birthday.
Yeah. As it's your birthday.
Just don't give him a bouncy castle.
What you need to do is wait till she has three more birthdays, yeah? Like,
On his birthday.
That's, yeah.
But yeah, no, it was a.
Would you go back?
No, do you know what? I enjoyed the music.
Yep.
I do like that sort of music. You know what I mean, I'm into that sort of thing. I was just dealing with that. Do you have that moment of laughing? You go, do you know what it is? Them people who were there, right? I had that realization of, I'm not a part of this anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It just sort of bypassed me, because I've been somewhere like that in years.
Yeah.
And I think since the last time I've been there.
Things have changed.
I was like, oh yeah, this isn't.
I went and did a gig in a Butlins recently, and it was on the Sunday. What Butlins have, they have weekenders. So they have an 80s weekender, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On the Sunday, there's a comedy gig in the afternoon. And I went on the noughties weekender. So I turned up on the Sunday afternoon, and I was like, oh, who you had here this weekend? And someone said, oh, we had Professor Green. I was like, what do you mean, Professor Green? That's not a nostalgia act. They're like, yeah, he was in the noughties. I was like, no, he's like a relevant act now, yeah. Isn't he? And I was just, I honestly had a proper crisis where I was like, that's new music, isn't it? Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, oh, God. How has that become like a nostalgia act?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, God. I think they had Big Brothers, like, was on. And I was just like, yeah, fair enough.
I was just listening to them.
Yeah. This is Big Bro taking over the show. What? Oh, my God.
Yeah, because I did it though. You do it with, like, your daughter in the car where I'll say things like, oh, this is a good one. Who's this?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
They got their modern music. And I think it just does happen where you get older. I don't know if it's you get older or the way music's going, but it does all sound the same.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who this one is. Is it? Is that?
Honestly, I used to be so up to date. I used to know what was in the charts, everything. I used to know what number one was. And I had that knowledge. And then it just seemed that it just slipped away. And now I've got like 15 years to catch up on. And I just don't know where it's gone.
But I do, you know what, even though I was saying that I had a bit of a crisis at the rave, there was sort of like a comforting feeling that I think, okay, I can shut the door on that now.
Yeah. Something you wanted to experience just
for
the last
time?
Yeah,
I think that was my life.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you know, it's not, you know what I mean? Unless you're Wayne Lineker.
Yeah, I was going to say, just like Al Pacino, just when I thought it was out, they pulled me back in.
But no, yeah.
Yeah. One week later, what are you up to, Jack? Yeah. I'm just at a rave again, mate. I've opened the door. I've opened Pandora's box and I'm just back there now. I can't help it.
I'll do a thing though. Well, if you go to a pub and I'll see a little table. I think, oh, that's a nice looking table.
Mm.
Then I just go sit around that table.
Yeah.
Lovely. Love that. You know
oh,
I mean?
God, yeah. Yeah,
the
yeah.
Hustle and bustle, standing up, queuing.
Oh, no. That's one nice thing about like lockdown was the table service that came into places.
Yeah.
Just great. You don't have to leave. You just sit at the table.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Actually, you know what, as well? Like, we used the queue to get in supermarkets.
Yeah.
To do that. But I didn't mind that because it was like the nice queuing up to get in somewhere without having drugs in my ass.
Not every time, though, was it? Sometimes at Tesco, you just got to get through it.
Didn't mind that. But no, I did, table set, I suppose that was quite good.
Yeah.
Table set.
Yeah, that's because Weatherspoons did have. Weatherspoons jumped the gun on that. Weatherspoons app, you used to be able to order stuff to your table before the pandemic. And then you'd order, obviously.
Well, this is the thing as well. I'm understanding Weatherspoons as I get older as well. Because, like, I used to be like, there's no atmosphere, there's no music in that. But that's where blokes go to not listen to music, isn't it?
It's where blokes go not to listen to each other.
Yeah.
They just sit there
into the middle distance. I love that.
Yeah. I used to live in Broccoli, and there's one called the Broccoli Barge, and they're there so early.
Yeah, yeah.
So early. And sometimes you joke, oh, I should go in there. And then if you were to go into the Broccoli Barge during the day, it's a sight. It's a real sight. It's a real insight into how life can go wrong.
Yeah.
You know.
But they see, I think, look at them blokes in Weatherspoons, and you don't know what's going on behind closed doors or behind those eyes.
No.
But
there's a sadness there, though.
I don't know. Is there? Do you know what I mean? Like, because maybe they'd stop doing it. If they're just happy, you just assume, oh, he's a down and out, but maybe he just likes it.
No, true. It's like yesterday I was about to message you, and I walked past a guy, 10 o'clock in the morning, drinking a can of cider. He's made that decision.
It's what he likes doing.
It's what he's like doing. He's decisive.
Yeah.
He wakes up in the morning, he goes, gonna have a cider. I'm sometimes struggling about what t-shirt to put on, you know. He's already there. He's already dressed because he dressed himself last night. And
cider, please. Yeah. Thank you very much.
He's drinking. He's got the rest of the 4-pack in the shopping bag. He's loving it.
I think that's it. I think it's literally if you like just being oblivious to, because I think you could be like overly conscious, can't you? And you're worrying about yourself and worry about what you're doing and all that. If your priority is, I mean, I'm not. Yeah, I can't. I'm just making assumptions here. They're probably. I don't know who these people are, but I'm just saying, like, if you're just there and you just maybe there's people who just like drinking cider all day and they haven't got a problem with it.
Yeah,
they just think I just like being pissed all day and it's not a problem.
Yeah, true.
What do you mean?
They're actually a functioning alcoholic.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Things are going
well. I tried to give up drinking, it weren't for me.
Yeah. You know what I realised? I just really enjoyed drinking all day and I just thought, I'll just do that.
Get a career out of it.
Yeah. Just do that. Yeah, because technically, like, that is the makeup of, if you go to any sort of industry, like, you know, the smoking industry, they must love people that just smoke themselves to death.
Yeah.
If you run a Weatherspoons, you must love people that drink a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you ever...
Betting people love people that gamble themselves into financial difficulty.
Have you ever met one of these people? I've met a few of these people. Well, not a lot, but you get these people, you know, who, and they go like, I met a guy who goes, oh, I've given up drinking for a bit. I was like, oh, was it getting a bit too much? And, you know, he's like, no, I'm just putting on weight. I'm just trying to lose weight. I was like, oh, do you not struggle with it? And he's like, no. He had, like, no mental health issues. What? It's like, no, just completely clear.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing, isn't it?
That's good. That's great.
That's rare, isn't it? Just something,
It is.
Things are all right, and I've always think they're all right.
Yeah. My thing with alcohol is it's purely practical. I just very often am driving to places, so I can't have a drink.
Yeah.
But when I get the chance, I'll have a pint or, you know. But for me, it's not. I don't need alcohol to have a good time. I think there are people. You realise very quickly why they need to have a drink in their hand.
Yeah.
You know, and it can either get quite dark or you know, it goes the other way where it's like actually, yeah, they need to have a drink just because you can tell how. Like, sometimes they're just nervous without...
Yeah.
You get them people that are just... And then
itchy.
Yeah. And then they have to drink and they just settle down. And you're just like, all right, you're okay.
That's me.
Is that why you were drinking cider at 10 o'clock?
Yeah. That's why we popped in Weatherspoons before we came here. No, but I do like the... I think it's like two free pints and just walking about being lovely to people. I just like, morning, hello, morning.
Yeah, morning.
We're just chatting to people. You know what I mean?
Is this you at the rave, yeah?
Yeah, settled into it, yeah.
Yeah, settled in, had a couple of pints.
Yeah.
And then enjoyed the selfies, yeah. Have anything cropped up? Like, that's the thing, because obviously in our day, like, when you go to a couple, you'd get the upload of the photograph album on Facebook, like, 2 weeks later, and you'd be like, oh, there's me. But it's quite instant. Did you get tagged in lots of stuff at the rave?
No, I don't think I did, actually.
Oh, that's good.
No. Oh, actually, this is, I don't know if it's a thing from the past, but I don't know if it's like club photographers. You just go to a club photographer, and you have to go on the website and find the photo. And then you put it as your Facebook profile.
Yeah.
But you'd always like crop, one of your mates would have his arm around you, and you'd crop him out. It's always that, wasn't it?
I always had a problem. Whenever there was a photo of me in a nightclub, I'd always sweat a lot.
Sweat so
much, and there's just these patches, and you don't really notice it on the night, and then when you see those photos a few weeks later, you're like, oh, fuck's sake. Because I never knew how to behave in nightclubs. What I would do is I'd go to the indie floor and I would sing the songs.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, oh, girls like lyrics. I know all the words to these ones. Yeah. And so, but very often I'd
look at him over there. He knows all the words.
God, he knows all the words to the Libertines. Bloody hell. He knows both Carl and Pete's parts. He's doing it to himself. What a legend. He's singing Can't Stand Me Now and he's doing both parts. Brilliant. And he's raising his arms. What's that? Those sweat patches? God, this guy's great. He's really sweating for his art. Like, you know, and that would be me. And I'd wear these... Because I would wear these like weird shirts, like from Burton's, like they were so tight. I was quite a big boy. Yeah, I was quite a big boy when I was at 18. Yeah. Through uni, I would eat a lot at uni. Almost to the point that there was this like sandwich bar very close by that used to sell these really, really thick sandwiches, and I'd always go in there. And like a few years later, I went back and they recognised me. Like, oh my God, it's that guy that helped us stave off recession. You know, like, oh my God, it's that guy. I got my own plaque. You know. But yeah, it wasn't until I left uni that I started losing a bit of weight. Like, but yeah, uni, I was massive.
Yeah.
Have you ever been fat?
I have.
Yeah?
People are surprised by this. But because people always say this, people go, I'm always on like a diet pretty much. Like,
yeah.
I have to watch what I eat. And people go, why are you on a diet? You're not fat. Like, yeah, because I'm on a diet.
Yeah. Because I have been, and I don't want to be again.
No, when I was like, like 15, 16,
mm.
I was fat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was it that caused that, do you reckon?
Fry-ups.
Fry-ups in the morning and evening.
Mainly, yeah. The chips in the evening really tipped it. I mean, so I've always got like, you know, I've got to maintain like, I've got, you know, like a... sugar in tea, stuff like that. I love sugar in tea.
Yeah.
I drink a lot of tea, so if I can't.
Yeah.
I'll have to go for I don't like tea without sugar,
What do you go for? Do you go for I'm sweet enough, or do you like say, how's your rejection of sugar?
Yeah. It depends who's around. If they've seen Snatch or not. Sweet enough. Oh, that's
sweet enough.
Snatch.
Sweet enough or, yeah, just blank it out. Like, no.
But
or,
yeah, I don't know.
Because
yeah,
obviously it's quite something to then get into it. You're like, oh, I don't have sugar. I'm not going to have sugar because I'm on a diet. Like, justify yourself.
Because that's the thing. You're lying, aren't you? They go, do you want sugar? And you go, no. But yes, I do.
You do want it.
Yeah.
But you can't have it.
Because I don't want it fat.
Oh.
Mainly.
Oh, I'd like to see a picture of Fat Jack Skipper.
I'll get it. I've burnt most of them. But,
there's a nightclub photo of you somewhere.
That's it. But I do you know what also though? That's the thing, like, even on reflection, like when I, you know, used to go to clubs and you get as pissed as you can to enjoy it. Because I don't think that, like, if you walk in them clubs, not like when you're younger, you know what I mean? I felt inadequate. Do you know what I mean? I felt a bit I wasn't one of them smooth guys. You know, you get them smooth guys who go up and just go dance with a girl and they just pull
it. Like I say, I was always just a point and sing guy. I'd point my arms in the air and sing and just hope someone would just be like, God, that guy knows a song. And I have a beard now, but I didn't have my beard in my early 20s. And I just look like a fat baby, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's all pink and...
Well, I think this is where, like, the comedian in me was sort of... It's always been there, but it was always like there was a moment of, like, you know, felt inadequate. Then you had the cool guy, and then you had, like, you know, stylish guy, and then mate was good at football. And I was just like, well, I'll just make a fool of myself. I'll do something outrageous to make everyone laugh. It's just that thing. It's like, and then you get people laughing. Well, this is me now, then. This is what I'll do.
See, I was the opposite of that. I would melt into the background and just be there and not, you know, sing me indie hits in the corner. That's literally it. That's what I would do at a nightclub. I wouldn't approach people. I would just be me.
Yeah, you know? You weren't actually enjoying yourself.
Oh God, no.
No.
Yeah. Never. I just because it was the thing to do, to go to the venue in New Cross and just exist on a Saturday night. That was it, really.
Yeah. I feel like going out to all these young people and just say, you know, you don't have to do this.
No, you don't.
If you know what I mean?
Like, you know, people are like, oh God, young people nowadays, they just stay at home on their computers. I was like, oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I wish I had that when I was... Like, you had games and stuff like that, but there was more of a pressure to go out when we were younger. I don't think that pressure exists as much nowadays.
Nah.
In the 20s. There's, you know, you can just stay in. And obviously, like, the last few years has made people go, no, God, staying in. That's one thing. When the pandemic first hit, I was just like, oh, God, I like staying in. It's really nice.
Well, my only problem with it is I wish on reflection I could have done that. If someone said it'll be okay, I had that anxiety of, oh, the fuck, what the fuck's going to happen?
Like, yeah, of course.
You know,
yeah,
so I didn't really enjoy it, but I should have just enjoyed it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
The little moment of, oh, good, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I loved it. There was a moment when I went out to the Ukraine to film an advert, and that was nice because it was like a little bit of freedom. But it was like that first time. You know, that first. Can you remember your first COVID test?
No.
Because I was taken to a clinic, and it was very like the nurse did it for me, and then we flew over to the Ukraine, and then the minute we got off the plane, we got put into a car and taken to another. So it was like very Bond, you know, Eastern European clinic. And then this nurse did it to me, and it was like she proper shoved it in there. And then we had to get taken to the hotel. We had to stay in the hotel until we were given a Ukrainian phone, and it would light up. You'd have to keep sending selfies every hour just to prove you were still in the hotel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I didn't understand what it was like in Ukrainian.
Dick pics. Yeah.
I'm still here. Sorry, wrong number. And wrong phone, to be fair. I don't know how I made that mistake. But it was all in Ukrainian, so I didn't know what it was saying, you know? So very often it would flash up, and I'd be like, I don't know what I'm meant to do here. And then eventually we were allowed out. It was a weird time.
It was.
It was a very odd time. And what's obviously Ukraine back then, it was very close. It was in Kyiv, which is obviously very close to Chernobyl. And so, like, imagine, like, living through Chernobyl and then, like, a virus happening. And, you know, it's like, oh, fuck's sake, what's next? Like,
That's what, you know, I actually got into the series Chernobyl the first week of the pandemic. That was when it came out, wasn't it?
Perfect timing.
Yeah, and I watched that and I just thought, could be worse.
Yeah, absolutely. Could be worse.
Do you know what I mean?
Could be worse. Yeah, God.
But that was a weird time. But anyway, I better ask a question. This is a new one. What makes you cry?
Right. Jack, I'm level with you here, mate.
Okay.
Everything. Everything makes me cry. I found before I was a parent, I used to like be fine. And then I remember my daughter was about 1 week old, and me and my wife were sat on the sofa, like, you know, zombied out. And 16 and Pregnant, come on. Do you remember that American show?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much what it says on the tin. It's about 16.
I can guess what it's about.
Yeah. She's 16, she's pregnant. And she was just doing this piece to the camera. It's in her bedroom, and obviously, like, let out, like, have a camera to, like, film bits that they weren't there for, the camera crew. And she was just like, I'm so scared. I don't know if things are going to be okay. And I just remember, like, muttering to her, it's all going to be all right. Don't worry about it. And I was just crying. And then so now, like, I just cry at fucking everything now. I cried at Toy Story 4. I cry when my daughter buys me birthday gifts, because I'm just like, oh, so nice. I just, like, the good thing is, like, as I got older, you realise just how bullshit, like, toxic masculinity is. Like, I got quite emotional when you sent me a text. You were quite drunk on Friday night. We did your gig together, and it was a lovely gig. And then you were like, oh, thanks so much for coming. Oh, I love you, man. And I was like, oh, I love you too. And it was just like, 10 years ago, you wouldn't be telling other men that you love each other. But it's got to that stage now where you're just like, nah, cut the bullshit. We're allowed to do this. But, like, yeah, anything. Like, films just really make me weepy.
Yeah.
But films have always had a powerful effect. Like, I stopped talking about bacon and sausage. I stopped eating all pork products once I watched Babe. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
I stopped eating it because I just was kept thinking that little pig.
Yeah, back on it now though.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. It lasted for about 4 months. Yeah, 4 months. But my house on a Saturday morning would always smell of the smell of cooking, like yeah. smell of bacon, smell of sausages. And I just was like, I can't do it, because I just would think of that pig and his little voice and I'd just be like, I can't do it, you know. But then my willpower just gradually waned away and I was just like, yeah, back on the bacon now.
Yeah, like, I'm a crier though.
What's the last thing you cried at? Do you remember?
Just staring at my children sometimes.
Oh,
sorry, it's got a bit deep here. But you know, sometimes I do something, I just do something that's so sort of like innocent or so like so pure.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just go, oh, that's...
How old are your kids?
7 and 8.
7 and 8.
And it's just like, or just seeing them see something for the first time.
Yeah.
Seeing them enjoy life.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you feel like, oh, fuck it. It used to be good.
Oh, God, yeah. Like, you know,
I think that's actually, I think what makes me sad the most, I think this is what gets it, is you go, like, it sounds really shit, but like, one day they won't be that happy.
It's true.
Just like your mind just gets more exposed. It's just overexposure as you get older, isn't it? You see things, or you see badness, you see things happen, you go, oh, people ain't good, are they? Do you know what I mean?
It's true. It's like she mentioned something that was on the news, and it was like a horrible story, and I was just like, oh, damn, I didn't want you to know about that.
Yeah.
Where have you heard that? You must have heard it on the radio or something, or at someone's house, and you've seen the news report. And I was like, because you can't, a lot of people are like, oh, you can't write Muffin with Cotton Wool. I'm like, we can. And then, because, you know, they might as well enjoy this time.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, that's, I just find like Paddington 2, have you seen that?
Is that a Hugh Grant one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bit where Paddington is in the train and it sinks to the bottom of the river, and Mrs. Brown dives in.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes up, she tries to unlock the lock, and it looks like she's not going to be able to. And Paddington puts out his paw as if to say, I'm going to be okay. I'll drift away here. And you think, I've got the kid off Paddington. I'm going. And then Knuckles McGinty flies over in his plane. He dives. You hear, let's go, lads. And they dive in. They save Paddington. I was an absolute mess in the cinema there, because I was just like, oh. And then they have the ending at the end. And it's just, oh, my. Oh, God. The other year, Toy Story 4, I was crying on the way out of that because, spoiler alert, Woody goes off and leaves Buzz. And then I started thinking of Toy Story 1, the bit where he's holding on to Buzz and he's about to let go and he goes, take good care of Andy for me. I started crying over that, thinking of a moment in another film. And I just thought, you know what, Tom? You're not okay.
Oh, God.
But it's weird. Like, we could, like, imagine this conversation 10 years ago, two blokes sitting there going, well, it'd be weird if we're well ahead of the game on the podcast. It'd be like, you going, oh, what makes you cry? I'd be like, nothing. No, I'm fine.
Yeah.
At least it's that situation where people are like, oh, yeah, you know, you shouldn't, you know, things have got, like, you know, too, what's the term? You know, people shouldn't open up as much. But I'm just like, no, actually, it's quite healthy just to be like, yeah, I cried at that. Yeah, I cried at that. Yeah, top man. Yeah.
No, I get it. I'll tell you, I think is the number one cry moment when you're kids is Scott singing at assembly or something.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
just that pride that rises in you.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Amazing. And that is a moment. That is a moment where I put the phone away.
Mm.
No one else needs to see this. I don't need to see that. I don't need to.
Yeah.
Like, as in, no, I'm not like I'm not Paddy Power.
Put the phone away, Jack. Let's watch. Yeah.
No, what I mean, like, stop recording it and just have that moment where you're just like watching it and you're there.
Yeah.
And those are the moments, aren't they? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, here's a philosophical question I heard someone say the other day. Right. If you could go on holiday, well, this was like, I know you're married, but just imagine you weren't. Right.
Okay.
Right. If you could go on holiday to the most exotic place in the world, right?
Yep.
With the most beautiful woman, right? Yep. And have the best time ever, but when you got back, you just completely forget about it. You never remember it. Would you go?
I don't know.
Because it's weird, isn't it?
Because
that's the only reason you do things now, isn't it? Is to, so you can take photos of it or tell people about it or...
Well, I suppose the thing is, though, that memory wouldn't exist, would it? So it's not... Yeah, I suppose probably because you might as well do a virtual reality thing.
Yeah,
where you just put a headset on and go to this place if it's not going to exist in your mind.
Yeah, that's meant, because that's a weird way, that's how we look at things, isn't it? Or like, well, you go somewhere and to plan, you look forward to it, so you can take photos, so after it you can tell people about it. So just it's like, it's never like a, you're never really in the thing doing it, are you?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Last time we went to Disneyland, and the problem is you do take loads of photos, but I didn't put loads up on social media because it's more for us.
Yeah.
But that whole thing of, because it used to be the whole trope would be you go around someone's house and they show you their holiday photos.
Yeah.
Whereas now you don't have to do that. They put them up on social media and it's like, oh God, overload. Yeah. You know.
And do you look at them?
No, God, no.
No.
No, no, no. No, I've no interest.
Sometimes I'll do it. I'll do some sort of post and I'll have like a feeling afterwards of, why did I do that? Why am I...
Why did I do that?
Do you know what I mean? Who am I? Like, it's different, because like, we do comedy, it's like entertaining. So that's fair enough. You're just trying to entertain people. Sometimes you do a thing that's a bit overly personal, and you think, why have I done that? Why have I shared that?
But people do like your personal posts. Your one about like going full time was a very nice one. It's very heartfelt, you know. Yeah. And so, and the thing is, like, you know, sometimes comedy works from being from like a sort of a nice position, you know. So yours is now, it's all part of the Jack Skipper story, isn't it? He's now full time, he's going, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know.
Oh, that's nice to hear then.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I do it, that makes me anxious. I'm like, why am I sharing this information? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But sometimes it just needs to get it out. I think you're right. There are people that you go, why have you, like, there was a video of Tommy Fury coming back from having this fight with Jake Paul. And it was like, so who set up the camera then? Because you see his wife or girlfriend go and give him a hug at the door.
Really?
And you just think, have you just set up the camera just to capture that moment? That's a bit odd, you know.
Yeah, it's just for content, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas for me, we did, my daughter, she hadn't seen her cousins for ages during the pandemic. And we surprised her by bringing them, because they all live in Liverpool. And we filmed that. And it was like a good, like really gorgeous moment where she absolutely bursts into tears and gives them a hug and is like, oh, I'm so miss you. We put that on social media, but
sharing a nice feeling.
Yeah, well, a lot of people were like, oh God, that made me cry. Yeah. You know, no, it was mostly people that I know.
So don't post things unless it makes people cry.
Don't post things unless it makes people cry. And if you're not me, you cry everything. So, you know, no matter what you post. If it's a soldier coming home.
A fry up.
You know. Oh, God. That's made with love, that fry up.
Yeah, no, but I just don't know. Maybe I'm a bit too, what's the word? Self-reflective or whatever. Sometimes I do like, think, why am I even doing this? Sometimes you'll have like a, you feel like sometimes I haven't given people enough of my time. And I walk away and I go, oh, I wasn't really... I was thinking about something else that whole time. Do you know what I mean? Do you ever do that? You mean that?
Yes. Yeah. You hate the idea that you've been rude to somebody.
You don't realise you've done it.
Yeah. But then, I mean, there must be somebody out there that... Yeah, there must be someone out there that thinks, like, I'm a dick or something.
Or even when you I send a message. I think, how did that... Did that sound how I wanted it to sound? Oh, then they said a second one. You know, when you're an anxious person, like, you text someone and it's like it's such a normal thing, and then they read it and don't text back, and you reflect on the text you've just sent and go,
oh no, don't do that.
You go, oh, they've taken that the wrong way.
Yeah, but sometimes they could literally have glanced at it, and then like yesterday I had like a mad rush, and I remember I had a few people texting me, and I literally saw the message but didn't have time.
I know logic says
that's
what's happened.
That's what's happened, and especially like if they reply to you and it's like an hour later, it's just because they finally just got round to it. You know, got round to it. It's not nothing to do. But yeah, you do start thinking, oh God, how have they taken that? How have they taken, how's your day, mate? Oh God. I'm thinking, what's it got to do with you? Like, you know, what are you asking?
Yeah. Like, But also there's that thing, like you'll know, like as human beings, like you'll know, you've got to look at yourself. Am I bad? Because in your own mind, you have like a ranking of people's value to you.
Yeah.
How quickly you're going to respond to that person or not. Do you know what I mean? So people must do that. People must. You know, like if you're emailing like someone and you don't get back to you, like bookers say.
Yeah.
Comedy gigs. You're just lower down on there. If a more. So if a big comedian emails them back, they'll be emailing back straight away.
Yeah, of course.
It's just, but I think people will do that with you in life, where it's just like, you know, I'm not going to respond to him straight away. He's got no value to me. Do you know what I mean?
No, Jack, I treat everyone. That's how you work, but not me, Mike. No, I know what you mean.
No, I'm not that person, but I imagine that's how they be. Oh, okay.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely people that, you know, when you see you're left on red, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'll see how this is. And eventually they will, you know. But then also, when you get a response from someone you don't expect to get a response from, you know, I book comedy gigs and there's people that respond to me. I'm just like, oh, that's nice. Even if it's just a no, you're just like, oh, they took the time out of their day to reject me. Lovely stuff.
Well, I always try. And that's what I mean. Like, say, sometimes, if that's what I mean, if like I miss a message, sometimes you just will. It'll come up while your sat nav's on your phone. So you don't see you don't get the notification.
Yeah, sure.
And you realize like, 3 days later, oh, shit, I didn't text that person back. I feel so bad. I feel really guilty. Do you know what I mean?
No, but all you need is, so sorry, mate, I just missed this. Yeah. So, or I forgot to respond to this. I think that people get that.
Yeah.
You know, it's better than, you know, when you respond to an email and go, sorry, this was sitting in my drafts. It wasn't sitting in their drafts.
Yeah.
It wasn't sitting in their drafts. Yeah. I just forgot. Occasionally, I'll adopt the flag method where I'll flag up an email and be like, right, I haven't responded to this, but I need to. And that's good, but I'm just not that organised enough to do that all the time. So there will be emails in there that just haven't been responded to.
Yeah, you know? That's the way it goes.
Absolutely.
As you can tell, I overthink.
I've noticed that about you. It's not a bad thing, but it is occasionally just like, chill you're out, okay. Man. Yeah, calm down. It's okay.
Have a beer, innit?
Yeah.
What's that thing you were talking about? You said there was another bloke called Tom.
this is when I realised, right? So I used to work in a Morrison's. In Erith when I was a student. I worked there for years. And this is when I realised that. So I've always had a good relationship with my mum and dad. Like, I always got on really well with them, and they've always, like, just had a really nice, like, upbringing and stuff. And I worked Sundays in Morrison's, and then this other Tom started working Saturday, Sundays. And he was known as Big Tom, and I was known as Little Tom due to my short stature. And I just remember he came in one day, and he was really, like, nervous. And I was like, all right, mate. He went, yeah, my mum's been away all weekend. Because we're both like 19, 18 at this point. And he went, yeah, my mum's been away all weekend and tried to make popcorn in the microwave. And I think I've broken it. I'm not really sure. Oh, and I was like nervous. I was like, it's all right. I'm going to be okay. He was like, no, I'm just worried about my mum. I was like, what are you worried about your mum for? It's fine. She's going to be all right. And he went, no, you don't know my mum. And I was like, oh, I don't know. But no, she's going to be fine. He didn't mean to break the microwave, did you? It's fine, don't worry about it. And he's like, oh, okay. Anyway, we carry on, and we get to lunch, and he gets his phone out, and he goes white as a sheet. I'm like, well, let's have a look, sorry. And I'm just like, let's have a look. I look at the phone, and it's just this, in block capital, just, what have you done to my microwave, you cunt? I was like, I was like, oh, fair enough.
Oh, mum.
Because like, the idea of my mum ever using the C word was just like, wow, okay. Like, especially to me, like, I've heard my dad use it to describe Gary Neville, but like, the idea of like ever hearing that come out of my mouth of my mum directed at me, I was like, Jesus, like,
bloody hell. your mum's never called you that?
No, your mum ever called you that?
Nah, she
hasn't. No, to be fair.
What is one of the words she won't have?
No.
She won't have.
Oh, she's not at all. I don't think I've ever heard my mum use it. Like I say, I've only ever heard my dad use it in footballing context.
Yeah, that's a great word, though.
It is. It's lovely, isn't it?
I think it's lovely. I had that. It was in one of my sketches the other day. It was like I proper went for that word. And I have so many comments from Americans saying how much the British are good at that word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're champions.
We're so much better at it than the Americans.
Yeah. I think it sounds good coming out like a New York accent. But that aside, I just think they don't hit that T.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, they got the movies.
Yeah,
they got all that. They got the music. Maybe they got all the, you know. They can't say cunts like
no,
we can.
They haven't got cunts. You know, because it can. And the thing is, like, it's like I often will just like I was looking at some. I saw a message from someone. I just went, oh, that cunt. And my mum went, oh, you're not friends with him anymore? I went, yeah. and she was like, what? I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, the Australians
use
it like it's...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like if you... You feel quite heartwarming if someone calls you a cunt in Australia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He must like me.
Yeah, it is. It's a proper term of endearment. It's you know, it is like, yeah, all my friends, if I call you it, like, it means I like you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, if I actually didn't like you, I wouldn't call you it. It's like your gig on Friday, there was a bit of a woman who wasn't enjoying it. My set, yeah. Because
the woman.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Basically, a woman sat on a chair and it broke, and I went, "Oh, had a good Christmas," and she was offended on that woman's behalf, even though that woman then repeated that joke back at me. But I was saying, I wouldn't have said that joke if the woman was fat.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not funny. It's just poking fun at someone.
Yeah.
But because she wasn't, and the chair broke, and me going, "Oh, had a good Christmas," like, you just don't do that, do you?
Yeah.
So if someone's a cunt, you wouldn't call them a cunt.
No,
Only call people that you like cunts.
Yeah, yeah. And also, no, it's also, I think the word cunt, when it gets offensive, is it an adjective? Is that a describing word?
No. Adjective, so a fat cunt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fat would be the adjective.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, if you put an adjective in the front of it, just desperate, it becomes...
That one needs to become nasty.
Yeah.
You fat cunt. You fucking cunt. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
If fucking is the actual bad word there.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
fucking cunt.
Yeah.
It's like, you oh, go, yeah. But if you're, oh, you cunt. You know, that's fine. They're absolutely fine with you there.
Yeah.
But you fucking cunt. You're like, oh, yeah. pissed
there
him
you
off.
Go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you gotta, yeah. watch out for.
But a pure straight cunt is fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's absolutely fine. We'll wrap it up in a minute, but... I was going to say, you're going to let the listeners know about our sketches we've been filming.
Yeah, 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 really good. It's a new sketch show we're filming for YouTube called Might Never Happen.
Yeah.
Jack Skipper, Tom Toll, we did our first filming day last week, and it was great.
Yeah.
It was really good. We made each other laugh.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Enjoy that sort of longer form.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
So if listeners are up for seeing that, remember to subscribe to my YouTube channel.
Absolutely.
It's going to be on YouTube.
Like and subscribe, as they say. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've got to start doing that.
I mean, I'll be honest. I found it really funny, and I'm in it.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean.
Yeah,
and I'm my own worst critic, but I am also my biggest fan. So, you know, it's a conflicting thing, but yeah. I bloody love it. You know, and I'm hard to please. I'm long in the tooth in the comedy game. So for me to watch something and go, that's great. Even if I'm just watching myself, that means it must be good. So definitely worth a subscribe. And
it's coming soon. It's coming soon.
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 It's been a pleasure. Fry up.
Fry up. Let's go for a fry up.
Yeah, let's go for a fry up.
We'll do that. But no, check Tom out. What's your Instagram?
At Tom Toll Comedy. Yeah, yeah.
T-O-A-L.
Yeah, T-O-A-L. Said like Tollbridge, spelt like.
And yeah, actually check Tom out because you've got them. I shared one of your 8 mile sketches. Probably one of my favourite sketches I've seen.
Oh, God bless you.
On social media.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's one of mine, and I'm in it.
No, but it's been good. Thanks for coming on, Tom.
No. High much. Five. Yes. I did. Someone went to fist bump me yesterday, and I shook it. Still thinking about it.
Hey, babe, what you got there?
This is a check from Carvana. I just sold my car to them. I went online and Carvana gave me an offer right away. Then they just picked up the car and gave me this.
Well, that's a big check. Well, obviously you could put this towards your next car, or we could finally get that jacuzzi, or I could start taking tuba lessons, or I could quit my job and write my memoir.
Or I can put it towards my next car with Carvana.
Sorry, your check, not mine.
Sell your car to Carvana. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get a real offer in seconds.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay. And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.